Tonight's Big Brother 19 eviction recap is sponsored by CanvasPeople.com. Summer is here, and you know what that means. People are taking lots of photos at all of their barbecues and on all their vacations. And what are you doing with those photos? They're just going to sit on your phone? No. How about this? Why don't you put them on your own memory wall? And CanvasPeople.com is going to help you do that because they've got a great offer with special $0 pricing for you to try out. CanvasPeople.com. Canvas People is so confident that you are going to love their service. They're going to let you try it out for $0. Just go to CanvasPeople.com, select the 11 by 14 canvas photo. They're going to turn your photo into a beautiful work of art that you can hang up on your wall. All you have to do is pay the shipping. It's going to come out to less than $20. So give it a shot at CanvasPeople.com. Nicole and I are so happy with the photo that we got done of the boys. We think that you will be too. So many people used it for Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I've heard all positive feedback from people. So try it out. CanvasPeople.com. That 11 by 14 photo is normally $69.99 plus shipping, but for our listeners, they've got that price at $0. You just pay the shipping. Over a million satisfied customers have used CanvasPeople.com. So just go to CanvasPeople.com, upload your photo, select 11 by 14, and then use promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing at CanvasPeople.com. Promo code RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's the biggest beta in podcasting. I'm Rob Cestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And here we are, live after eviction number two, believe it or not, in terms of these live eviction shows. It feels like it's live eviction number five or six in the season, but we got a lot to do. Cody is out of the house for now, but we will see what happens in just 8 days when the battle back returns, the big news of the night in Big Brother 19. We got a great show here. We have a fantastic guest here with us to talk about Big Brother. He is one half of the I don't know if it's more popular or less popular than the Dom podcast happening in the Big Brother house. He is the co-host of the Dom and Colin podcast. Colin Stone, how are you?
Rob, I'm doing very well, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't care how many follow-up questions you have. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. We're going to have see if you could outdo Cody as a guest on the Dominique podcast. Let's see if you could really throw my team under the bus tonight.
I shall certainly do my best, Rob.
Yes. Okay. Somebody told me something. One person. I'm not going to say who it is. I'll leave it there. I'll leave it there. Colin Stone, we did a long interview over the weekend that I was a guest. Nice enough to have me on the Dom and Colin podcast, too. We talked Survivor, but in terms of Survivor podcasting, a real deep dive, if that's something that interests you, into the world of podcasting with Dom and Colin. And you guys just posted it. Perfect timing.
Yeah, it's as far as the timing goes, as I've said already, it's much better to be lucky than good. It was not planned that we would have this going on, and then I could then that evening come and plug it for your entire audience. But thank you very much for the opportunity to do that, and more generally, just for having me in here. If anyone is interested in that, yeah, this was a great time talking to you, Rob. We went almost, I think, 2.5 hours was like the final runtime of that podcast, talking about a lot just about you and about RHAP and about podcasting in general. I had a really good time. Thank you once again, for coming on and being willing to do that with us. And I guess if people want to find it, just Google Dom and Colin. Dom as in Dominic is probably the easiest way. It's also just Dom and Colin .blogspot.com if you want to type it out long form. And I guess I will also mention, also getting posted today, we did another podcast about BB19 that we recorded a couple of days ago, just assuming Cody was going to be gone. And that's up now, too. So definitely check those out online or on iTunes or wherever you find all your podcasts.
Okay. All right. Also, joining us to talk about the live feeds. We have wall-to-wall coverage. First, the man who said talked Colin Stone into coming on the podcast said, look, we'll have you on 2 weeks in. You don't have to watch that much of the season after that. Just give us 2 weeks. Here's Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. That's right. The key is in framing. How you frame things is everything, Cody.
Framing is important. Framing
if Cody
important.
Knew that, he'd still be in the house right now.
Yes. Framing is important, and nobody knows that better than the people at canvaspeople.com. then also, a man who is outraged tonight, okay? And we'll find out why. Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Hey, Rob. Nice to be on with the fabulous Colin Stone. That was what my real reason for hornswoggling my way onto this podcast.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we will talk through everything here tonight. Of course, Scott St. Pierre is standing by as well. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions. We're also going to have our live feed update in the morning. And I guess for tomorrow, we'll go with noon Eastern because nobody else has told me a different time. But look for us then on Facebook. And then we will have a update as this HOH competition is playing out now on the feeds. If you want to watch that on another screen, robisawebsite.com/livefeeds is the way to do that. And one other piece of business up front. For you guys who are in the greater New York City or tri-state area, if you want to come out to a Big Brother live show, which is we're going to be doing in New York City, August 3rd, which I believe is 3 weeks from tonight, we are going to be live in New York City to watch the eviction show. And I will have with me America's player, Eric Stein, and the great Johnny Mack from Big Brother 17. They're going to join me on stage for a live show. And if you want to join us for that show, you can get your tickets now at robhasawebsite.com/BB19Live.
No!
Yes, yes, you can. robhasawebsite.com/BB19Live. Come out and join us. That show will sell out. I am confident in that. So make sure that you get your tickets. About a little bit of a smaller room, about 250 seats. So it'll be a hot ticket that night. All right, August 3rd. Let's get into talking about everything. So Cody is out. Colin, sad to see Cody go because I really feel like while he was a hated villain, I do feel like that he himself seems surprised to be somewhat embraced by the studio audience. I think we all had a warm spot in our heart for Cody.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised to see him leave, but yeah, I definitely think it is like the big talking point this week, from what I've heard, but given that it was going to be pretty not dramatic as far as the result went, is Cody a good villain or a bad villain? Is it worthwhile having a guy in the house who's maybe saying some things from time to time that definitely would not be cool to be putting out there in any kind of context? But on the TV show, that's not really coming across. And I think he really is delivering with that kind of context in mind. From the TV perspective, I think Cody is a great villain. I think having someone in there who, frankly, doesn't seem to know or care that much about the game, but is in there really just trying to, like he's saying, just constantly be an alpha, I think is actually like really good for the game and for the show, even just setting aside whatever Cody believes in his own personal life.
Brent, do you feel like that it's just people who watch the TV show, or do you feel like that the greater live feed watching audience has also embraced Cody?
No, I definitely think it's both, mainly because he is an appealing underdog in many ways. I mean, he hasn't done himself any favors in trying to campaign to the house guests, trying to better his game, but he's so different than many of the house guests that they normally place in the Big Brother house. He doesn't give the diary room what they want or the producers what they want, and we're constantly complaining about people going in the diary room and yelling, and he certainly doesn't do that, and we all are all thankful for that.
I was just wondering how he got cast to being that kind of personality.
Well, he does say kind of crazy things. Alex, do you feel like in some way that Cody has emerged as like an anti-hero this season?
I think that's an interesting way of framing it. Yeah, I mean, he's also talked on the feeds about that he really played it up in the audition, you know, and this goes to speak for why we can't necessarily trust that somebody who is savvy enough to like play production in the casting process is necessarily going to be the same person when they walk through the doors. I mean, that's why we're so often wrong with these cast assessments that we do, because we don't have any idea who they're really going to be when they actually go in there and play. But yeah, I think Cody, it's interesting because, you know, people who understand the game know that what he did in week one was bad gameplay, right? I mean, even if you know, could argue that without the twist, you know, maybe he would have been able to get Paul out of the house. Certainly the execution is sloppy. I mean, he goes about a backdoor plan without securing the votes first. Like, that's Big Brother 101. If you want to backdoor somebody, you make sure you get the votes to do it before you go ahead and enact it. The fact that he didn't, he lost his credibility, he lost the people who were close to him, and then he was like, you know, kind of down and out. And for me, it's been frustrating because, you know, he hasn't really campaigned to stay. He's more just fallen back on the knowledge. And that's why it's so funny to hear Julie talk about, you know, what do you think? Do you think maybe there's a chance he could come? We all know there's a chance he's coming back. That's what he's been banking on all week. But I mean, if he's not counting on this battle back, maybe he campaigns more for his life and maybe that's more encouraging to see. But, you know, yeah, he's really like without, he's down to like, you know, the very, very last shreds of life in this game. And I think that person's always going to be sympathetic to the fans.
All right. So Colin, next week, next Friday night, we will have our battle back coming up and we'll get a chance to talk about whether or not we see Cody advance. You got to feel like that for production. This is such a gimme. You got to think that they want him back in the house. Cameron versus Jillian, whoever moves on from that matchup, probably Cameron, you would think. Cameron versus Cody seems like a no contest. Can't imagine who the house is going to evict this week, but seems like that this is just going to be a layup for Cody to be back in the house in 8 days.
Yeah, and I was wondering to myself, who would I even rather see back? Like, who would hypothetically get evicted this coming week that I would not still be wanting Cody to be in there to make for a more interesting game, like to beat them in the final round? I really feel like that is, I think you're right, what production wants. And I think it's also what America wants. It's certainly what I want. Am I crazy? Am I not crazy? But who I guess, would it take for us to not be rooting for Cody?
So I think that in terms of the audience of the show, and again, I don't want to speak for everybody because people have their favorites, but that, you know, Paul certainly has appeal. And I do feel like that here, like for the most part, I think then tell me, Brent or Alex, if I'm talking out of school with the live feeds. I do think that Paul, you know, people like to see something new. People want to see a change up and probably might be getting a little bit of Paul fatigue. Here's Cody, who's at least something different, who is stirring the pot. I think most people want to see him come back. Am I wrong on any of this, Brent?
I mean, I think most people would probably want to see him come back, but they would be wrong to think that he's going to stir the pot and try to get Paul out. I mean, Cody has said if he goes back into the house, he's not going to go after Paul. Paul's been the one stand-up guy. He's totally flipped his opinion on Paul. So he would be going after people like Mark and the snakes in the house. Cody is totally miscast. You know, there's a rumor going around that he was going to be cast on Survivor, not Big Brother. And actually, Alex and I have talked about this, and we actually think I'm buying that rumor because I feel like he's more of a Survivor-esque kind of guy. He's an alpha, and he doesn't like snakes, and Mark is a snake to him.
He would not be good on Survivor. He's only good on Big
Brother.
He has
Heroes Tribe written all over him.
I thought one of the most interesting things that we've seen from Cody all season was when right after he got backdoored and Paul went to talk to him, he just was right up front and said, yeah, I get it. Like, I'm a threat. Paul should absolutely be coming after me.
The reason why Cody works on Big Brother is because that Cody just does not fit in this ridiculous world of wearing costumes and, you know, being a have-not and doing stupid competitions and making puns. Survivor is like that. Cody fits in Survivor much better because Survivor takes itself very seriously. And the appeal of Cody is that he is like deadly serious in this very wacky world and he's just not going to play ball. I think he would be very boring on Survivor. As boring as Cody can be, I think that this is the environment that really brings out peak Cody. Colin.
Well, I definitely think that's true. And I also think being HOH the first week, the first round of the game, and it lasts like 15 days or whatever, I think that is the formula for peak Cody as well. Like, get him, let him get some power underneath him, let him feel like he's running the show right away because he's not thinking long term really at all, as far as I can tell. I think the first, you know, Cody is best when he's in power and we can watch his demise. And it's, you know, watching the foregone conclusion, I think, was a little less exciting after that exciting first week.
Now, Alex, in terms of the vote count tonight, it was a 7-3 vote. Was everything according to plan there in terms of the votes and the bigger organic grouping deciding to just try to keep some dissension in the house with those three rogue votes?
I mean, we thought there was gonna be two rogue votes. We thought it was gonna be 8-2. That's what we've been talking about, or, you know, but it's Christmas. Christmas, what are you doing? Like, we have no idea what that was about. I'm chalking it up to painkillers and drugs. That's all I can figure. Okay, well, I have nothing better to go on. That's Occam's razor, Rob.
Okay, let's talk about the Christmas issue. First of all, let me start with Colin. Of course, tonight we had the moment that I saw a lot of people very surprised about, a Big Brother first Christmas, who has gone out for this foot surgery. She ends up casting her vote live, and I thought we were going to be like in her hospital room, but we have Christmas here on the phone. Here was that vote.
Christmas, hello.
Hi, Julie.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better as minutes go on.
All right. Well, you know we're in the middle.
As minutes go on, what is she like, coming out from a haze?
Oh, I heard as the meds go on, as the medication
as
goes
the meds
on.
Go on. Hold on, let's see.
Go on.
All right.
I'm feeling better as minutes go on.
Meds go All on. Right. Oh. Well, okay.
Feeds might be lit, but Christmas is lit.
Christmas is free. All right, Brent, I know that you don't like this.
No, I don't, because I just feel like it's like, when is this going to stop? I mean, they keep letting her go out of the house. They've given her opportunities to go see the doctor, and then she needs to go get treatment. Now she knows needs to go get surgery. Well, now she's said, well, now she's going to have to stay overnight, but she'll be back for the eviction vote. Then today it was like, well, maybe she will, maybe she won't be back for the eviction vote. Julie was on giving an interview saying that, you know, if Christmas isn't able to come back to the house, then we'll get her vote via her hospital bed. And so when does this stop? I mean, like, they're supposed to be trapped in a house. That's Big Brother. And there was no way for Cody to even flip the vote. If Christmas was going to vote to keep him, there may have been something else that he could do. Now, look, I know he wasn't campaigning. That's
she
not the point. The point
him.
Is, I know, but that he didn't know that, though, because he couldn't talk to her because she's not there. So it just
well, what
pisses
do you want to do, Brent?
Off.
What do you want? That Christmas is out of the game, or she can't
yes.
vote if she's not in the house?
No, she's out. She's not, that is an activity that is a rock bottom activity that every house guest has to do, is cast their vote to evict in the diary room.
I'm interested
she didn't
to
do
know
it.
What the opinion is on all this. Colin, do you have an issue with Christmas having surgery, voting via phone?
I am 100% team Brent here. I am very curious about where they're going to eventually draw the line with this. And I was actually wondering, and I saw a friend of the podcast, Matt Ligori, tweet something along these lines. If it's because it's specifically Christmas that they're letting her stay in the game versus if this happened to someone else, even with all the early eliminations, that may not have been the case. I didn't know if Alex or Brent had any takes on that. I'd be very curious to hear.
Ooh, I think it's above my pay grade.
I do get the sense that if this happened to Jillian in week one, they just would have put her down and then
right.
not be trying to work with her. Alex, does it bother you?
It somewhat bothers me, yes, because I agree with what Brent's saying, and sorry if that was addressed to someone else, that I think this is a fundamental part of Big Brother, is being there to vote people out. Like, she's not even there, as Brent was saying, like, to be campaigned to. I definitely think that this is I can't imagine in Survivor, if anyone was not able to make it to a vote, that they would ever be allowed to proxy their vote.
Alex, yeah. Does it bother you that they're doing this? Because to be honest, it doesn't really annoy me. It wasn't that close of a vote. She's going to be back. So I understand in principle. But I mean, if I had a choice between should Christmas be out of the game right now or should Christmas cast a vote via phone? I mean, I don't know how this is necessarily better with Christmas out of the house. I don't want to just stand on principle here, Alex.
Yeah, no, I wish I could provide like a contrasting viewpoint here, but it does bother me. And I think I would prefer it if she's gone, too. And I'd even be fine with, like, let her heal and come back and play next summer. You know what I mean? We do that mm-hmm. kind of thing all the time anyway. Like, I'm fine with it. She doesn't have much experience. But I think at a point when she's now left the house four separate instances for various checkups and things. I think so much of this game, and I think it's really understated how much, but we see it every season. People have these mental breaks because being in there for so long under these wacky, ridiculous, stressful environment, you know, with people like Josh, just up in your face all the time. Like, that's the hardest part of this game. It really is. It's just like the day in and day out of dealing with these people in this environment. And she gets to take, like, you know, multiple extended breaks from that.
But
I mean,
that,
to me,
that much of an advantage over not being able to compete in any physical challenge now moving forward?
Well, she can't compete, but also why? I mean, who in their right mind would target her now? I mean, if she can't play in 70% of stuff and the 30% she can play in, she's probably going to be slow and inept at. I mean, I would want to take her. I think unless you absolutely under no circumstances can work with her, there's no reason not to take her to the end now. And I just don't like the imprint the footprint that this is going to leave on BB19. I think it's going to like be now a huge impact on this game going forward. Like the longer it goes and the more time this is a thing, it's going to just be like what this season is remembered for. And I just, like Brent said, I mean, I hate to bring up the slippery slope thing.
What's going to be what the season is remembered for? That Christmas cast long does it last? From a hospital bed?
I mean, what if there's a setback? What if she makes jury and then she has to leave? I mean, who knows, like, at what point this could, but like, we're basically setting a precedent here that is potentially going to be problematic down the road. And I don't like that at all.
Hey, you guys are being too serious about this. This is not that big a deal.
Also, it's not like she was a victim of bad luck. They told her not to be stupid and dance around during the music, and she's racing around on Whistlenuts back full speed. Like, it was totally her own fault.
Yeah. Right. To me, this is a lot different than like Missy on Survivor San Juan del Sur breaking her leg when it's like day 35 out of 39 and she's not getting voted out anyway and not winning any challenges anyway. Like, this happened on what? Like day early teens or something, where we have 90 more days to go. I'm with Brent of like, where do we draw the line here? This is going to be a whole summer of this, I would imagine. It's going to be, I would guess, at least once a week, Christmas is going to get to leave the house every single week.
I mean, if I was Christmas,
I would offer a nurse five figures right now to sneak me a phone so I could watch feeds. I would try it. Why wouldn't you try it? It's brilliant.
Is it?
Do it.
Really? I mean, what is she going to watch? Is she going to come back armed with like some amazing information? I mean, what's her
Canada four
going to go up to if she watches 90 minutes of feeds this week?
I think it's certainly helpful to get to know as much as you can if that's in play for her. I would hope at least that nothing like that is going to be going down while Christmas is out of the house, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like to talk about like in win equity terms, though, like I think someone like Josh would be far better served being on some kind of like morphine drip for the next 70 days than being out there competing.
Yeah.
Sarah Hanlon said all the time how much better she would have been and how much less paranoid if she had been able to smoke weed in there. Like, if Christmas is allowed painkillers when she comes back for the duration of the game, that's an advantage. I don't care.
All right. Right. That you guys are being so to the letter of the law. I mean, this is Big Brother here. I mean, there's so many shenanigans that go on every single summer, Brent.
Well, I mean, Rob, if we don't lead the charge, then who's going to?
I guess so.
I mean, come on.
You guys are like clutching your pearls over this. I mean,
that's what I do, Rob. Christmas. My purse is right here.
Oh, my God. You guys need to be alphas me and Cody.
It's like, Rob, we have like
victim noises that coming from you guys.
I'm reminded of like Joe Rogan has an analogy like this in a stand up where it's like, you know, sure, we may have like 50 pearls right now, but every year Big Brother comes and takes two. And just two, and it doesn't seem like a big deal. Oh, they're only taking two of my pearls, but they do it every year, and it's a little more every year, and sooner or later, we're out of pearls, Rob.
Yeah, I guess so. Real slippery slope we're on, where everybody's going to be getting surgeries now in the Big Brother house. People will just be coming in for procedures, and then next thing you know, they're all just getting, you know, people are just coming by for routine medical checks, and now death panels and everything. Terrible.
They're getting weight loss surgery in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, that elective surgeries coming in. Anyway, we can add that I will ask a question to Allison Grodner in my weekly email with her, and we will see if we can get to the bottom of that. All right, Colin, talk to me about Paul in terms of how you think that he's doing. I personally thought he was going to come into this week, overplay it, get the HOH-itis. It seems like he did walk away from this unscathed. Do you feel like Paul has leveled up here in terms of his gameplay?
I've definitely come down on the kind of like, terror is a strong word to describe it. When I saw Paul on those live feeds win the HOH last week, and I know he'd been talking about wanting it so badly, all I could see, of course, were the flashbacks to Netta during BB Can 5, and then he piles on and wins the veto as well. But I think I'm with you that I actually can't believe almost how well I think he's come out of this week. I think he did a good job uniting the house against a target. He even, I believe, was in on the plan for some of these hinky votes. I think he actually did a really good job, especially considering that he's going to be safe for another week. I think it's really crucial for him that he is able to participate in the week 4 HOH, which he now can because he did it in week 2 instead of week 3.
Colin, are you concerned that Paul is going to steamroll the competition this summer, where it is not fun to watch because Paul is going to have this thing so much on lockdown?
fingers crossed at this point, I do not have that concern. And this is pretty okay with bringing just Paul back by himself, even though I would generally much rather have all newbies. I definitely do not think this is going to be like a Redemption Island kind of scenario where people just line up behind him and listen to whatever he says as he waltzes to victory. I definitely think Paul is just the kind of guy who, frankly, doesn't seem to care that much about winning the game. Like, maybe he does this time, and maybe I'm totally misspeaking when I say that, but I feel like he's much more, as far as I can tell, there to be entertaining and have a good time for himself and hashtag never cared and be a big TV character. And if he wins, awesome. But I really don't think that's the top of his priority list. Am I wrong about that?
That's what I thought too. But I do feel like that he's coming around and is very focused on winning the game. Brent, okay. Do you feel like after watching him this week that you think that there is this possibility that he is going to just win in a route going away?
I think there's a slim possibility that that could happen. There's a lot of people in the house. There are a lot of people in the house right now that do trust him implicitly, and even his enemies seem to really kind of respect him and appreciate his straightforwardness about everything. Not to say that that can't change. I think once things move along a little bit more, and his safety is going to come undone next week, and so people will start thinking about, we can finally take a shot at Paul. I feel like they're never just going to let him waltz to the end. He's going to have to pull out a competition here or there in order to make it.
So Paul is going to be immune again this week. We had our vote come up on CBS.com for the next round of the Den of Temptation. Yet the Den of Temptation, if my calculations are correct, is skipping a week. Alex, does that sound right to you?
Yeah, the next temptation isn't off. I mean, the voting continues through 7/19. So that's definitely how it is.
If we were looking for theories to support that the Den of Temptation only exists to give us a Sunday night competition, I think that we will end up getting this endurance competition in its place on Sunday night. And that's the reason for the hiccup in the Den of Temptation. But I do think it's like, if this is your theme this year, like, do it every week. Don't take a week
Rob,
off.
Did you not hear, Julie? I mean, this is the last temptation of the summer. It's done. It's like BB Takeover.
This is it?
It's done.
This is it? Yeah, she said temptation?
This. Yeah.
Oh, there's no more. Yeah.
Girl, it's done.
What? Okay. Sure. We'll go with that. Anyway, so, Colin, a popular theory floated around after the battle back was announced tonight. Julie said that the house guests will actually have the opportunity to decide if a person comes back or not. Do you see this as a tie-in with the Den of Temptation, where if we have the halting hex, that is it going to be like a one-week type thing where sort of like Dan Gieseling pushing the reset button, will we have the opportunity for whoever gets sent in the Den of Temptation, will they have the opportunity to stop the live eviction? And then if so, does that end up bringing a person does the halting hex prevent somebody from coming back into the game? Whereas if they don't end up using it on a Thursday night, then that person gets replaced with the person that comes back from the battle back. Or do I have it backwards?
Right. We have a really interesting scenario where we could either see someone come back in and someone pause around, which is a two-person difference for the number of people that are in there, versus if we don't have someone come back in and don't have someone use the halting hex. So I think there, no matter what the rules end up being, they are definitely leaving themselves plenty of like room to play with that in mind. But I would have thought that the idea of, oh, the house may be able to do something to prevent this person from coming back in, I would anticipate something kind of like the way they brought Paul into the house, where like, yeah, theoretically, the US could have held off on pushing the button for 25,000, but realistically, it was always going to happen. I think it may be something along those lines.
Brent, actually, the more I think about it, does it make sense that they have the halting hex come up next week? And then from there, it works out that that's the curse. The curse that gets accepted is the pox put upon the house that somebody comes back from the battle back.
That sounds right to me. I misheard Julie, I thought that she said that we would find out who got the halting hex next Thursday, right? Because okay. She was talking about the winner of it being revealed at the next live eviction.
Yeah, the 19th would be Wednesday, a week from yesterday. So then on the Thursday night show, we can find out who has the halting hex.
We normally find out on Sunday. So that's obviously the formula, kink in the formula there. And obviously, we know the halting hex is being taken. I mean, whoever is offered that. that is taking it. We just don't know what the result of it's going to be. I mean, you have the power to stop an eviction when you know your butt could be on the line. Of course you're going to take that thing.
Right.
Which is why I think it does make sense for that to be like, oh, well, if you hadn't taken the halting hex, nobody would have come back. Mm-hmm. But of course you're going to take it.
Right. Okay, so that's all set up for next Friday night, and I presume we will be live to talk about the Battle Back show coming up 1 week from tomorrow. Very exciting.
Who's going to get the halting hex, do we think?
Okay, let's talk this through. Take Paul off the board. Take Christmas off the board. Alex, who's the most popular house guest after that?
The person I've seen the most overwhelming support for has been Alex.
Alex, I feel like she's popular on the internet. I'm not sure if the casuals are down with Alex. Brent, who do you think?
But if it's not Alex, then who? I mean, maybe Kevin? I mean, maybe Kevin. I don't know. I don't know if they would give it to Kevin or not. I've seen quite a bit of voting about this, or polls rather. And but Alex is leading, but she's leading like by, like, you know, 22% to someone else's 11% or something. So it seems like it's a big gap, but she's not leading by that much. It wouldn't take a whole lot of consolidation behind somebody else in order to put them over the top.
And I think the other thing you have to remember is that the casuals, who do they like? I mean, who have they seen on the episode?
Right.
Paul, Cody, Christmas, and Alex. Like, really, nobody else has gotten their time. Josh has the one speech now, kind of. But, like, two-thirds of this house has had no play on the episodes proper to actually give them a shot at any of these things.
I love the idea of Kevin with a superpower all summer, Colin. I think that that would be very fun for him to, one, have to understand what, like, okay, so what's this now? What is this thing? What's this? What's this halting hoax? What is this? It's a hoax. I get to pull on somebody? No. It's a hex. You get this. Wait, what? And then to have him then also like lie, like a Ramses has it, I think, and really throw people under the bus. I think that's the peak outcome for this.
Yeah, needing Kevin to explain what's going on a live TV show, I think, is what we're all here for.
Yeah, I think that would be the best way to go. I mean, yeah. What about Josh? Is that a possibility, Brent? Do people feel bad after the, how about those, who wants meatballs? Is that a possibility?
I mean, no, I don't.
Meatballs for lunch. I bet you want them, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am sort of persuaded by my colleagues that Josh came off a little bit too villain-esque on the last show. It just wasn't, it was a little awkward and a little bit train wrecky, and I can't imagine anybody has great feelings about wanting to vote for him.
Okay. Colin, let's talk a little bit about Jessica and how she ends up walking away from this. It looks like she did do some things in terms of trying to salvage the future of her game. She at least tried to talk to Christmas. I thought Christmas was a little like, if somebody wants to apologize to you on Survivor, Big Brother, accept the apology to their face. I think that it's a bad move to just tell them off when they try to reach out to you. I think that's never a good look on the show and not a good move in terms of strategy. Do you feel like that she can walk away from this and not be the number one target with a bullet this week?
Yeah, I mean, when we started seeing this showmance emerge, I think the night the feeds came on, like one of the first things we saw was in the HOH room, oh, it looks like Cody and Jessica have linked up. And we kind of saw for the next week and a half or so how all of that was going to come crashing down on Cody. And back in that early point, I was really feeling like Jessica could potentially emerge from that in a really strong spot. And I remember listening to one of the LFC updates, and I think it was Brent who said, I could see Jessica becoming like one of America's favorites after Cody leaves. Like in certain timelines, if she does rebound and kind of lay low for a bit and then just kind of be a scrappy underdog who gets picked up by some other alliance, I definitely think that is in play, but I am certainly less optimistic after the way this week played out with Cody inevitably leaving than I would have been this time maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, where it really seemed like she was going to lose this giant appendage at some point. And I think if she can lay low, if she can lay low, she could be in really good shape, because I can't see her being an immediate target unless she really brings it on herself. But now I'm starting to see more of how she might bring it on herself.
Brent, do you feel like that Jessica could emerge from this?
I do feel like she could. Obviously, she has a chance to win HOH, and this competition looks like something that she could possibly win. I know that her and Cody were talking about an endurance competition, so we'll see if she can hold on for it. Aside from winning HOH and trying to reset the game board a little bit, I feel like she might be able to hide behind Ramsey's. Obviously, he's gotten a lot of the negative press in the house, and he might be a juicier target than Jess will ever be.
Okay.
Well, like, we're rooting, I think, for that. Like, I think people who want to see a shakeup in the house are rooting for someone like Jessica to win this HOH. I think it would be very interesting. But I also wonder, and I definitely wouldn't, the live feed people would be the ones to know the answer to this, but would that be a good or bad thing for her game? Like, would it be helpful to get in there and get some power and have people needing to come to her and offering her things? Or because I would personally have thought that the best move now is you're not going to be a target once Cody's gone right away. Just hang out.
Yeah, she should not be on like the Rachel Riley Big Brother 12 trajectory. What she needs to do is get back under the radar. She can't be like, you know, she wins HOH this week and be like, you know, in your face, bitches. You thought you could come after me and Cody, and you'll never stop us. And then she'll be back up on the block the next week. And then if she wins Power Veto, tell everybody off again. Her move is to try to get back under the radar. So it'll be interesting to see how she goes on to play this. In terms of the Dominique show tonight, Alex, do you feel like that there is going to be collateral damage from this, or this is just sort of like something that happened but not a big deal?
I think it's going to be something that people remember and use as kind of a talking point going forward. Certainly, it was something that bothered people, and it just happened last night. So we don't really know. You know, feeds were down most of the day today. We don't know the full extent of, like, if there's been any real ramifications from it. But I have to think that probably not. Like, it seems like the most likely outcome, depending on who wins HOH here, is that what the work Paul's put in this week probably lasts at least one more week. And I think that's why, you know, Paul's HOH stands as, you know, a pretty stark contrast to Cody's, if you're really trying to think about how to play this game, because whereas what Cody did was very unclear to the people who are supposed to be trusting him, Paul was very upfront about what he was doing, and then he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So that reassures everybody, and that makes everybody feel like the plan is working for them. So if the plan is working for them, there's no reason to upset the status quo. And if the status quo is, like, you know, get rid of one of these outsiders like a Jessica or a Ramsey's next week, and that's safety for me, then it's easy to see how, you know, many people could win and just maintain that this week.
Now, Colin, I think that Dominique did a really bad job with this talk show, because it started out as a good idea. And I think that it was something to be fun in the house, provide some entertainment. All that is good. But when she starts to get these people that are up on the block and then starts to go deep with them, a Dom and Colin style interview she tried to do with Cody of, like, all right, Cody, so tell us, you get into the house day one, take us through what you were thinking. I'm like, what is going through her mind in terms of doing this? This is terrible.
Take us through your casting experience,
yeah,
Cody. Tell us about it.
So, how did you decide to be on the show?
I couldn't believe it either. And I thought doing something like that, I think putting yourself in the game in kind of a group fun social setting, like, that's how people are having, like, fond memories of you. You're not getting too caught up in all the scheming and scamming, I thought was good. But you're totally right. I was as soon as I heard, and the guests are going to be the three nominees, I thought, oh boy, okay, this could get bad. And then it certainly did very quickly.
And Brent, the thing that, you know, the last time we saw the Dominique talk show, was the problem was that, you know, when she does the Jerry Springer, like, all right, let's go to the audience. What does the audience have to say? You know, it was Christmas. But, so I want to know if this is a showman. Like, stop turning it over to, like, unless you've got Scott St. Pierre screening the questions, stop turning it over to the audience, Dominique, that I want to come in and give Dominique some podcast hosting notes.
Yeah, you should, because I was laughing at the fact that you know, that this started off great, Dominique's talk show. And I'm like, Rob, please. Like, this is, when we, as the feeders, when we see that it's time for Dominique's talk show, I like run for the hills. Like, it's terrible.
It's bad.
Freaking terrible, okay? So I imagine my surprise when I turn on the feeds last night and they're halfway through this talk show and it's the best drama that we've had all week. It was freaking fantastic. I was living for it, and I will not totally blame Dominique here. Cody really tried to take the questions and really turn them on their ear to turn it into a game kind of answer, but then she definitely gave him some more rope, and they were off to the races from there.
Yeah, went from the Dominique podcast to Rob for a BB2 cut for you. It was almost like a Monday meeting where the house kind of like cleared the air of what's going on.
Yeah, not great. I mean, if you're going to do that, you got to keep it light and keep it fun and be entertaining. I think that people are looking at stuff like that as an escape from the game talk and not another way to facilitate game talk. I'm sure production was loving it, but not the ideal way to go. And we get this big fight between Cody and Mark. That being said, let's start to turn it over to questions from you guys. And why don't we start with this very exciting moment in the episode tonight. I caught this and I screen capped it. A question or a tweet on the screen, if you're listening to the podcast, from at Mr. Robot Taryn.
Mm-hmm.
which, just to be clear, that is not the Twitter account of Taryn Armstrong, but is a parody account of Taryn Armstrong, or not, it doesn't really parody him, but it is at least in his honor. Mr. Robot Taryn said, I'm so glad Alex is safe. Now go get HOH. Now, Alex, are you disappointed that at LoveTour Alex has not gotten a question onto Big Brother's screen?
You know, it's all fine and good. Although just a few days ago, I saw one of my other parody accounts at Alex Doubtfire was retweeted, which is me dressed up like Robin Williams in a maid's outfit. I don't know why. It was retweeted by Sarge Jason. And he was like, yeah, this guy's making some real sense. And I'm like, that's not a guy. It's me in a wig. Stop it.
Well, hold on. You in a wig would not be a guy?
It's not anything. It's like theoretical, well, nothing.
And really, that's a longer conversation, probably. Brent, are you disappointed that Brent Wolgabot has not been featured on the Big Brother TV show?
Is that a thing? I don't think there are any robots out there for me. I've taken it as a like
is that fake news, Alex? I thought there was a robot, Brent.
No,
there are now. If there were,
I don't know. I've always had it as a badge of honor that I was the only one of the four LFC who did not have some parody account of me. Like I'm a walking parody, Rob. I don't need anything. Come on.
Okay. We'll see. Robot Melissa's out there as well.
Right.
Mr. Robot Taryn then wrote in to say, has Colin ever had a tweet make it on the live show? For the record, it was easy.
Ooh. Sure haven't. Frankly, I'm okay with the fact that CBS is not monitoring my tweets too closely.
Yeah. Okay.
Redwood tree levels of shade.
Another tweet from Jeff Patterson. Does a lightweight favoring HOH make sense at this point in the game, or are they pushing for just Alex win with the choice? Okay, so I believe that's a question about the choice of competition. Brent, could you take us through the history of the wall competition and give us a idea of the type of player that traditionally wins this contest?
The first person that comes to mind is the guy that you did the Candy Crush podcast with, Matt Hoffman, and his small feet. I think he won two different competitions like this, actually. Both times, I think, with Rachel Riley as the outgoing. I'm not mistaken.
And it came down to him and Reagan both times.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not sure. I can't co-sign that. You may be right about that.
I believe it did.
Okay. Good for you. I do not know the runners up. That's cool. That's great. Generally, smaller people tend to do well. Women tend to do well. People who don't have a lot of weight behind them. I would not expect somebody like Mark with all his muscles to be able to hang on to something like this, just looking at it. Although I have been surprised before in the past by people who seem to rise above their own doubts and propel themselves forward to do well in a competition like this.
Alex, did Ian Terry win this back in BB14?
No. Danielle.
I don't believe so. Danielle did. Yeah. But, you know, I think, really, it's, you know, weight is a factor. Like, obviously, the less you weigh, the better. But athleticism still wins out.
James because talked a lot of trash about being great at the wall, even though I think Nicole ultimately won it last season.
Nicole beat him, and Victor won a wall comp to come back. And Victor has plenty of muscle going on, so it's not a be-all, end-all. I think athleticism...
That's a little beta, Alex.
All right, well, fine. He spends more hours at the gym than I do. I don't think it's a secret. I think, you know, like, yeah, obviously it seems to work in someone's favor if they're an athletic person without a lot of muscle mass to have to support. But if you're an athletic person with a lot of muscle mass and you're up against people who don't work out, I think it's still in your favor.
And let's not discount the fact that there is cold water and whatnot, obviously, you know, in any BB endurance competition being thrown on them. And how can you survive that? That more than anything really sets the girls from the women and the men from the boys.
Colin, Brent, Alex, Taryn, and Melissa are up on the wall. Who's winning from the LFC?
I have to say Melissa, and I don't think it would even be close in that competition.
I'm getting the cold water shakes. I'll tell you that right now. That's happening.
Be interesting.
That's the thing.
Be interesting to watch. I think like Brent's going to be really determined. It's going to be that'd be a good competition. Okay. Mike Bloom wants to ask, can we get a Colin Stone brand hyperbolic statement for how the rest of the season will go?
Shade.
Colin, could you tease us with some?
Oh my God. So this is the thing for me, and this was something that Alex, I think, brought up early in the podcast about, like, when he asked if I would want to do a BB19 podcast. I was very happy to do it, but I said, I can't really commit to watching more than the first couple of weeks with 100% certainty. I'll definitely check out the beginning, but these last few seasons, within the first month or two, I've eventually checked out. This BB19 cast, to me, I will say this will go down as one of the best casts in Big Brother history, Rob.
Wow.
I will say people are going to love this cast for years and years to come.
All right. Buying or selling, Brent, one of the best casts in Big Brother history, and we're not talking about what's on Christmas's foot.
Well, that's a good one. I think that I'm going to buy that, actually. I really like these people. They're a little too follow the leader at the moment, but I do feel like that's eventually going to give way to people wanting to. And there is a lot of money to be won. I still don't understand the people campaigning that it should be $1 million. $500,000 is still a lot of money, and everybody wants it.
Who cares what the money is? Thank you. One of the people in the house. Yeah. Who cares how much money they get? It's not going to change one thing that happens on the show if it's $500,000 or $1 million.
Yeah, well, they should make a union.
I mean, does it bother you what the prize is here? Or you feel like, oh, well, that a guy I know is on the season, so if he won,
no,
he'd buy me a beer.
I think it would be cool if they decided, like, 17 years down the road that maybe it was, like, worth their investment to up the ante, and maybe people would try a little harder or be a little more competitive, but that's, you know, that's wishful thinking, and you've already established that that's not what we're getting away with.
Right. Colin, do you feel like that anybody would try any harder on Survivor or Big Brother if the dollar amount of the ultimate prize was raised?
No, I don't. And I think with Survivor, when it's already at an even $1 million, I think that's the one where you just don't hear as much about raising the prize, because a million sounds like a lot of money. And it sounds so weird to say that $500,000 doesn't. But for whatever reason, when you compare it to 34 seasons of Survivor versus 16, 17, 18, I guess we're on 19 now, seasons of Big Brother giving away $500,000, it almost sounds cheap by comparison, which is very weird to say.
Again, when they have people who don't want to come on the show because it's not enough money, that's when they'll raise the prize money. Well, I don't think we're there yet. Who's the biggest meatball now that Cody is out of the house? Who wants to take the meatball question?
I think I will, and I'll say it's Mark. Not a very good reaction that we saw.
Post meatballs for lunch.
Yeah, not a very good reaction to Cody's interview. Like, Cody was obviously baiting Mark there. He feels personally betrayed by Mark. Mark did not tell him how he was going to vote during the Christmas versus Jillian vote, and he sees him as a snake, and so he was trying to throw some shade on him. Mark just needed to sit there, like, dude, you're going home, not respond to it. But instead, he reacted badly to it. Both him and Dominique really suffered because of this whole talk show business.
Yeah.
I think it was Taryn who pointed out on this morning's update that 100% of these Dominique shows have been like ended with triggering Mark. Like that's just the way it goes. That's really unfortunate for him. But yeah, right. He's just in this position now, it seems. He needs to make these shows end like yesterday.
Yeah. Now, the Dominique show is turning into like an SNL sketch where like the punchline every week is like Mark getting like a... Look, screw you, man.
Come on.
Yeah. They'll always end right. the same way.
One quick thing about Dominique's talk show, though, that really wasn't addressed on the show is how much distrust this caused within Dominique's alliance toward Dominique in particular. I know that Raven and Matt and Elena were talking earlier today about worrying if Dominique won head of household because they were afraid she might do something crazy because she was really hurt by everyone saying that they didn't really appreciate the questions during the talk show. So, that's something to consider.
And Matt was like, I know everyone didn't like what she did. I know it was really, really bad for everyone's games, but this is something she's like thinking about pursuing as a career after the season. So let's be tactful in how we approach that. Like, yeah, well, that's the right thing to say.
Yeah, I ask as someone who hasn't, I don't have the live feeds up if they're even back yet, but I want to hear just from you guys, because I think Dominique might be one such person who has no business winning this HOH.
Wow, that's a tough one. There's just so many people on the bulletin board okay. for various agendas in the house. So I don't know. I'd have to think about that one.
It could be
more.
Really.
I should be more on the ball. Sorry about that.
It's almost like if everyone's unanimous on targets, does anyone have any business winning this HOH?
Right. It sounds like it could be competitive, though, if no one feels necessarily like super lock safe and they also have the den of temptation to contend with. It sounds at least to me like it could be a competition that takes a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we will talk about what that everything, all the updates from the competition when we get to the live feeds in just a couple of moments. But let me play a couple other clips from tonight's episode. First off, we had in our speeches that we were given or heard from the house guests tonight, Cody had an interesting speech. And I want to know who exactly he's talking to here.
Cody?
Paisley. Love and miss you, kiddo. Don't be a beta.
Who is Paisley? Is Paisley his daughter, Brent?
Yes. Yes, that's his.
Why is he telling his daughter, don't be a beta?
Don't be a beta.
I think because he really respects the alpha women in the house. He considers Jessica to be an alpha woman. He also considers Alex to be an alpha woman, and even Christmas to a lesser extent. He was trying to get them to work together a little bit more, band the strong women together to take out the weaker women in the house. He's all about this whole strength versus weak kind of thing. That's just his whole gig.
Okay.
Clearly, Rob, he knew this audio was going to be fed into Christmas's hospital room, and it was a ploy to win her vote, and it worked.
Okay. Then, on the way out the door, we had another big moment in tonight's episode. Here was Cody talking to Jessica. Will you be my girlfriend, Brent? Is there anything more romantic?
So cringeworthy. Seriously, as you're going out the door. Like, I mean, I think she's already your girlfriend when she's giving you stuff underneath the sheets, okay? I mean, like, you really don't need to ask that. I think that's a little bit like cart before the horse kind of thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what do I know?
That's classic alpha move, though, right, Colin? Will you be my girlfriend?
Wouldn't know. But yeah, it seems that way from Cody. It certainly seems that way. That actually was a big surprise to me as well. I thought this was going to be... I don't want to name names, but I feel like we've seen relationships in the BB house before where both people seem to be on the same page that, like, yeah, this is great while we're in here, but I don't think there are any misconceptions about this being, like, a lasting thing once we're out of the house. And I thought this was going to be more along those lines. So it really surprised me to see Cody taking such an alpha stance there, Rob. You really have to applaud it, right?
Right.
That is a total beta move. The alpha version is, sup, girl? You're my girlfriend now. Yeah. That's what an alpha does.
Alex did say last night that he is the alpha male that's making you think he's a beta male, but it's actually the alpha male. So
that's, you listen to that,
yes,
did you?
Yeah. Don't let anybody forget it. Don't get it twisted. And then finally, I actually have to also commend Cody, especially coming off of the Jillian interview last week, so maybe the bar was very low. I thought that Cody was fantastic in his interview with Julie Chen. I thought that they had a very fun interplay. I thought that he poked fun at himself at times, that he was also had a good moment with Julie Chen here.
You are very strong.
Yeah.
Physically, you're good at competitions. You're not stupid. Do you have a social game?
Yeah, that was a good question, Brian.
It was a great question. I love that interview. That was so great. I also like it that he called out the producers for the pendant of protection being a cheap trick. Like, that was good. Like, give it to him more, Cody. I like it.
Yeah.
The whole thing was fun. You could tell that Julie liked him. I mean, I think she was trying not to really...
No matter what you want to say about him, the guy is a good character on the show.
Yeah, exactly. I think she was trying to keep her distance because obviously he said a few things that aren't exactly PC, but yeah, she likes him.
Yeah. And I really, you know, not to defend him, like, I feel like that he tries to be outrageous. Like, I feel like that he wants to just, like, I'm not afraid of people, like, coming after me. I feel like that the things he says are more from that perspective, Brent.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
Yeah.
I just wish he had the vocabulary to match his desires in that respect.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's do one more question, then we'll go to the live feeds. Will Dom be able to salvage her game after the talk show faux pas? Alex, yes or no? Do you feel like that the talk show, and we're talking about when Dominique, if she comes out of the house, do we feel like the talk show is part of it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Dom Harvey's actually a pretty good interviewer. But yeah, I mean, I guess she should be able to because she's still – in the group, there's still people protecting her, but it's just, it's fading. I would think that depending on who wins HOH, there's a couple targets ahead of her and probably time for her to fade away if she stops exacerbating the situation. But, I mean, it again depends on who wins here. She could potentially be under fire quickly because if somebody who's not in the main group were to win right now, there's, you know, going to be some turning inwards and pointing of fingers, and she's a name that's being thrown around already. So it's on the tip of your tongue as it is.
Okay, I want to switch over to talk about what's going on with the live feeds, but quickly, let me also mention that Sunday night, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently the next 7 weeks. As many of you guys know, the Game of Thrones is going to be back on HBO Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I will be live with Stephen Fishback and Josh Wigler this Sunday night, and then Fishback and I will be manning the wall every Sunday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. So we will be on Facebook Live with those shows, but we will have our Big Brother coverage for you guys on the West Coast. I will be live at 9:15 p.m. Pacific time Sunday nights for the next 7 weeks. And Alex, who's going to be with me on this Sunday night?
Definitely me. And I think maybe Brent. Brent, are you around Sunday night?
I am checking with my parents as we speak.
Okay, all right. Nice. We'll bring you that information over the weekend. So be on the lookout for that. And then Josh Wigler and I are going to have a Facebook Live talking about the Game of Thrones previewing this Sunday's season premiere on the Post Show Recaps Facebook page at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Friday, so be on the lookout for that. And without further ado, let's get into everything that's going on the Big Brother live feeds as we check in with this competition.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right, we got a lot of spoilers and a lot of stuff to talk through with this competition. Alex, what is the latest?
No, we don't. Not really, because it's still going on. It's a wall. We might be here for a little while. But
I was just going to say,
some people are down.
The people who are out are important.
Yeah, go ahead. Some people are down.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. I was just going to say, yes. Basically, everybody who is left on the wall, who is currently still in the competition, is mostly from the Outsiders Alliance. The only person who is left from the Majority Alliance is Elena. Dominique is still there. Here are the people left in the competition. As of 8:17 BB time, Jason is the only man still in the competition.
Wow.
Dominique, Jessica, Elena, and Alex. So obviously Elena is the only person who would probably take a shot directly at the other side. Dominique actually may need this HOH competition. She's in
Can
more
you
trouble
give us those
than
names
she
one
knows.
More time? Jason, Dominique, Elena, Alex, only four people left?
And Jess.
And Jessica. Yes. Okay. And they're all employing the vaunted James from last year strategy of squatting down. Which
there
I don't
goes
know why.
Jess.
Oh, crap. Jessica's off. Damn it.
Okay.
Okay. I really thought she had this one.
All right. That just happened.
Dominique's down.
That also just happened.
Yes. Yeah, that just happened. Yeah, Dominique's down as well. We're down to Jason, Elena, and Alex.
That sounds like a throw to me, Alex, that it was Dominique just trying to wait out Jessica.
That's an interesting point. She fell right after her. They've been up there a little while. It's possible. They were struggling. I guess we'll find out some more context room. Probably okay. After. Yeah.
All right. Colin, most people, by the time they're listening to this, this competition will be over. Who call the winner here? Jason, Elena, or Alex?
My call would be Alex, and I really do like Alex a lot based on the TV show, and I would personally say I hope she gets the halting hex, I think, out of the whole cast. I think it would be the most interesting, though, if Jason were the one who actually were to end up winning. I think this would be incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jason wins it, he's going to go straight after Dominic and Matt, or Matt and Mark, or some combination of those, because that's what Cody tried to get him to do. And he was already self-interested in wanting to do that. And Cody seemed to spur him on a little bit. So I feel like Jason's had it up to here with the Majority Alliance. He wants to take a shot at them. And he looks strong.
So funny, too, because if you go back to when Feeds like first kicked on, and before Cody ever, like, you know, threw the group's plan away and decided to target Paul all on his own, the group, and especially Matt, was saying it needs to be Jason this week because it could be an endurance comp next week and the Rodeo Clown's going to do well. And a lot of people coming into tonight, nobody had Jason on their list of people they thought were going to be in here long term because he's not one of the smaller people. But I said, don't sleep on somebody who, and again, I don't really know what a Rodeo Clown does for a living, but don't sleep on somebody who does any kind of dexterous things during their day to day, because that's all this.
Right.
Really,
you know,
is.
Jason's going to win because I already tweeted out that anyone over 130 pounds has no chance. So it's of course going to be Jason now.
Well, it's completely obvious, too, what Elena wants to happen. She is totally disregarding Alex and is looking solely at Jason, trying to falls off. If he falls off, I feel like Elena's good, because remember, Alex has sort of been absorbed into the Majority Alliance. Many of them like her very much and don't want to target her anytime soon. I think they feel totally confident with her winning HOH, but they really shouldn't, because I'm not exactly sure what
Should she want it, though? Is she going to be exposing her hand if she wins this and then doesn't do exactly what they want?
I feel like Alex is the person who should throw this of these three people left.
Brent, the person of this group that would give us the best week of Feeds would be who?
It has to be Whistlenut. I mean, possibly Elena if she does something crazy and goes off the reservation. But I really feel like it has to be Jason here. And Jason is the guy, more than anybody, who coming into this season, I was just like, pass, like, you know, whatever. Like, he's like nothing. Guy is like nothing. And yet he's feisty. I like him.
Alex Kidwell, we did see that Alex in the Big Brother house was a real wild card, going back to when she told Cody that he could eat excrement. Do you feel like that she would have a unpredictable HOH reign?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, the problem there is that everything went according to plan when she was vulnerable this past week. I mean, she really, her neck was on the block and they didn't swing. And I think that is encouraging and a sign that maybe people want to work with her moving forward. So I think it might lead her to be amenable to finding ways to work with the majority. And then she would target some outsider, like probably a Ramses, which, like, is that really good for her long-term prospects? I don't think so necessarily.
Okay. Should be a interesting night to see how this plays out on to Big Brother After Dark. And, of course, on the live feeds, if you want to check those out, robhasawebsite.com/livefeeds. Colin, anything else BB19 you want to say before this podcast ends and then you check out of BB19 for the year?
No, that's what I was going to say, is I actually am very excited to watch how the rest of this season goes and to hear all of what you guys have to say about it. I want to definitely thank you, Rob, for not only having me on, but for just doing all of this. It's such thorough coverage all the time. And Alex and Brent and the other members of the LFC for just being so on top of things all the time. These daily updates are what keeps me so invested in the show. So really, really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Colin, for saying that. I really do want to just tip my cap to the LFC, and especially to Taryn, who's been on, I think, all of these morning updates, that I've gotten a lot of praise from people for having these. But you guys are the ones doing all the work, except on Fridays, because I'm there tomorrow for doing some of the work, Brent.
Doing some of the work, and I will be there watching. I'm actually having a poker tournament in my house, not working tomorrow night.
Whoa.
So I'll be in the chat with you guys. Okay.
So we'll be live at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific to talk about everything that happens overnight. Alex, anything else that we failed to mention tonight? I guess we'll take a couple more questions.
No, I think we did a good job. We covered, you know, what's there to cover. I think, you know, it's unfortunate. I feel bad that we're like, you know, seeming like we're, you know, I don't want Christmas to have to quit the game. I think just the circumstance is such that it creates an interesting conversation.
You don't want her
about
to. You just think she should.
Yeah, right. Basically, well, let's put it this way, Rob. It makes me sad that this is the first time I've ever had to talk about a Christmas break that I want to end.
Okay. Oh,
that's what makes me sad.
Yes. All right. There you
just
go.
Really quickly, I do think that there will be a fight to be had if Alex gets head of household, because, you know, is she going to kowtow to Paul and do what he wants her to do? Or is she going to listen to people like Ramses and Jason who are going to tell her to take a shot? Because what she doesn't want to have happen is she doesn't want to take a shot, do somebody else's dirty work, and then she ends up on the block next week. She's really scared. Like, you know, how people are the queen of big moves. Alex is the queen of small moves. Let's do a little move. Let's blend in with everybody. Again, I don't know how she got on the show if she wants to play like that, but that's what she wants to do if she wins HOH.
Okay. This is from Den Dollar. Who will be the villain of the season on finale night? Try not to use Paul as the easy answer. Okay, let's go around the horn and take Paul off the board. Colin, give me your pick for the ultimate villain of Big Brother 19.
So are we saying on finale night, this is the person we're all rooting against, or the person who,
who was the person that was the biggest villain in the house?
I have to go back to the original prophecy of Rob Sesternino and say Josh is going to go down once we get some people out of here and Josh gets some more camera time opening up a little bit. I think Josh, just based on what we have seen from him so far, is definitely very ripe with potential to fill in that role, at least compared to pretty much anyone else I can think of right now. Maybe some sleeper picks would be Jessica.
Eat all the picks.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I'm used to only one person.
I have to disagree with that. I think Josh is way too lovable to ever be seen as a villain. I think the person, more than anything, that could turn out to be the big villain of the season is Elena. She's sleeping with the boy, and people don't generally like that on the feeds. And she is a snake in the house to a lot of people. And I feel like that she could be one of these people that's seen as like, well, she didn't do anything to get to the end. Because she's easy, you know? I feel like that, and she has some feistiness in her. I feel like people, she might get a bad rap.
Okay, Alex Kidwell.
You know, I'm already going to catch heat for my opinions tonight, so I might as well double down. It's going to be Christmas, because she's going to be in the game for the long haul. She's going to be unable to compete. She's going to be just backing up everything Paul says. And like that conversation tonight with Jessica, I think if you see more and more of that, if she's in a position of dominance and she's, you know, like Jessica, it wasn't a good apology, but Christmas didn't want to hear it either. So, I mean, I think if Christmas has more interactions like that, we could see people turn on her.
Okay. And I'll go a little bit off the board. I'll go with that Ramses has been playing hard. He can't keep his story straight. I think by the end of the season, we're calling him Ramses Bolton. I think that is the new bad guy.
Okay.
Rob, I just really quickly, can you imagine that Christmas goes to the final three and she can't compete in part one? Like, it's only a two-person competition. I mean, give me a break. Like, this is terrible, Rob. I feel like you're really underselling this whole thing.
Yeah, at that point, even Jerry would be like, come on.
Look, that if she can't compete in a part of an HOH, I mean, who cares? I mean, that you have people who... that her on one leg is probably better than most people in that spot on two legs, Brent. I mean, there's more that like we have these useless people that get to the end every season. Let's see, there are so many people in the house right now. Like, it's just such a non-issue to be this worked up about.
Well, if you get wind from production about when Otev is coming, that's the week to target her, because you know she can't get that thing wet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Taryn Armstrong, I am 100% with Rob Sesternino. So many people complaining about not pulling Christmas from BB19. All I hear are victim noises. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds like sarcastic Terrence. Somebody needs to make a Twitter of sarcastic Terrence.
We got used to what those sounded like after Cameron was removed from the game and Terrence wanted a replacement in his draft pick.
Okay. All right, and then finally, Alex Wilpon. Since nominations will be made before voting ends, do you think that this week's noms could get a late surge for the Halting Hex? Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are going to factor into this week's Halting Hex. I think that whoever wins the HOH could play a factor. And yeah, the nominees are a big deal. Sympathy factor is huge, Brent. Halting Hex is still TBD with no clear favorite.
Yeah, and exactly. I don't know when they're going to hand it out. Are they going to hand it out like, you know, voting ends Wednesday night, so are they going to tell whoever is the winner Thursday before that night's eviction? Like, could they halt next Thursday's eviction? Is that possible? I think that's a possibility.
Okay. All right, so we will see what's going on. I like hashtag Ramsey's Bolton, if you guys don't mind me picking out my own hashtag on that. Of course, Colin Stone, how do we keep up with everything you're doing?
Yeah, so you can find the podcast, as I said, on iTunes. It's the Dom and Colin podcast, very uncreatively named, Dom as in Dominic. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Colin Stone. I suppose Dom is also on Twitter, at DomHRV. I'll give him some free publicity, even though he did nothing. But he's a big part of that podcast as well. So definitely, I hope you guys take a listen to either our recent interview with Rob or any of our Big Brother coverage. We would definitely love to have you on board for all that. And Rob, just again, thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, always great to check in with you and with Dom. You guys do a fantastic job. And so be sure to check out everything that Dom and Colin have going on. Also, Brent's on Twitter, at One Lucky Gay, at Alex Kidwell for Alex Kidwell. Guys, anything else before we log off tonight?
Just now, Jason's down, right. So it's between Elena and Alex. Damn it. Ball, Elena!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Give me, just real quick, if Elena wins, give me a best-case scenario for an exciting week, Brent.
Oh, gosh. Best-case scenario for an exciting week would be that she gets wind of the fact that Dominic's been trying to hornswoggle in on her man, and she puts her up, and that would be lovely. It'd be hot. It'd be feisty.
And the other piece would be, with Cody gone, that she rekindles her old friendship with Jessica, which was really tight when Feeds first came on and has drifted. So if they came back together, that changes some things, maybe.
Okay. Should we hang out for 30 extra seconds? All right, let's take another
They're talking a lot. Let's see what they say.
Let's hang in there. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Winston Smith, Dominique, using her talk show to fish for information. Should the house guest be giving fake news during the show?
Elena Downs.
We have a winner. Sorry.
Yes.
The winner is Alex.
All right. Should be exciting. See, that was good. Don't give up. hear the words of Cody in terms of...
Don't be a beta.
Yeah. Does the alphas stay on until the end? We hung in there. And we have Alex as our HOH. So let's go check out the feeds. Let's see what's going on. We'll be back in the morning to talk through everything. Brent, real quick, off the top of your head, who are the nominees?
Oh, wow. Gosh, I don't know. I think remember that she caught Kevin in a lie. I do think there's a possibility that Kevin could go on the block as sort of a placeholder nominee if she's really pissed at the fact that he's lying about his vote. On the other hand, she might just do exactly what Paul tells her to do, and I'm really hoping she doesn't.
Alex Kidwell, is Josh in trouble potentially this week as somebody whose scene is in the middle?
I don't think so, because I don't think he's somebody that people see as a threat. He's kind of just like hanging out there, and you know, he's not got anyone really particularly close to him that's protecting him, but it just seems like at this point, with the things that have fallen out since the beginning when he seemed to be ostracized, that there's probably bigger fish to fry.
Okay. Christmas should stay in the hospital, Brent, until the nominations are over. Out of sight, out of mind.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Out of mind is a thing.
Slippery slope, Rob. Yeah.
All right. Slippery slope was what tonight's HOH competition was. And ultimately, Alex is your winner. Can't wait to talk about it in the morning on the Rob is a Podcast Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/Rob is a Podcast for that. And then if you want to come out and see us in New York 3 weeks from tonight, go to Rob is a website. .com/BB19 live. And if you're going to be in the Salt Lake City area or want to join us for RehabCon on the 25th and 26th of August, you can get those tickets at RehabCon.com. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.